lights. Morning, Life Point Church. How's everybody doing? Y'all look great. One person was excited to be here today. All right, I'm good with that. It's all right, one person, we can do it. Well, welcome to Life Point Church, man. I'm so glad that you're here with us and that you chose Life Point Church to be your place where you celebrate the greatest event in all of history, right? The fact that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, has risen from the grave, right? Not dead, didn't stay dead, he rose again, claimed victory for us all. Man, and if that doesn't get you jazzed and excited, I don't know what does. I don't know why you're here then, other than somebody forced you to be here, right? No, but man, it's an incredible day, and I'm so, like I said, I can say this over and over, I'm so thankful that you're here hanging out with us today. And if you're new to Life Point Church, I just want to say thank you for being here. Whether, like I said, someone drug you here, or you just came on your own free will to check it out, man, so thankful that you're here. But if this isn't your first time here, you'll know that over the past few weeks, we've been doing a message series called Living and Loving Like Jesus. And for those that may not have been here, what we were doing was we were looking at the different ways that we as people who claim to be Christians should live and love like Jesus. But far too many times in our world today, that's not the case. Maybe for some of you that you typically don't come to church or you kind of keep God at arm's reach, it's because of those people that claim to be Christians that don't live like it. Right? How many of y'all know those people? It's okay to raise your hand. I'm raising mine. I'm raising both. Right? They're there. We see them all the time. And it's unfortunate because when you look at the life of Jesus, man, he lived an incredible life full of love, performing miracles, meeting needs. We talked about how we need to forgive like Jesus. We need to connect with other people, all people. Like Jesus connected with all people, and that we need to serve like Jesus. If those who claim the name of Christ actually lived that way, the world would be such an incredible place. It'd be a much different place, and the church for sure would look very, very different. And my hope and prayer with Life Point Church is that we would be that church. That we wouldn't be cookie cutter, that we wouldn't put Jesus in this man-made box that I believe that we have in 2019 as a global church, that we would be different. And that everything that we say and do would really, truly be about Jesus. It's a novel concept, right? You know, Christian, Christ follower, live like Jesus. I don't know, makes sense to me. But what we're gonna do today, and in the vibe of being outside the box on Easter Sunday, 2019, we're gonna get eventually to the death and resurrection of Jesus. But we're gonna talk about a different resurrection that we see in Scripture. See, when we look in the book of John, we see that there's these seven I am statements that Jesus makes. Seven different statements that he says, I am this, this, or this. And what he's doing is he's describing to us who he is. He's telling us what he's really about. And again, if we paid attention to those things, maybe we do things different. But today, with Easter Sunday, I want us to look at the I am statement that I believe best fits today. As we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, that he claimed that victory for us, we're gonna look at the I am statement found in John chapter 11, starting in verse 25. And it says, Jesus said this. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus claimed, he stated, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. I am the resurrection and the life. And I think it goes without saying, but I don't want to make any assumptions. A resurrection is when something is dead and then comes back to life, right? Hope we're all on the same page on that. We're all tracking there. And, you know, honestly, we see this a lot. You hear stories about this a lot. Doctors, nurses, people in the medical field see this more than most, where someone comes in, they've had some major illness or an emergency, an accident, and I mean, their heart stops beating. There's no pulse, no breath in their lungs. And through whether it be some form of medical assistance or just a straight miracle, that they're brought back to life. It's the resurrection. And today, we're going to discuss and celebrate a few different resurrections that we find in Scripture. Obviously, the most important is the resurrection of Jesus. It's the reason why we're here. If that didn't happen, we should just close the doors and go on about our business. It's the very reason that we're here. But we're also going to check out the resurrection that took place when it was that Jesus actually said these words, that I am the resurrection and the life. See, these words were said in the context of a much broader story when Jesus found out that one of his dear friends, Lazarus, was sick and then eventually died. It was in the context of this story that he said, I am the resurrection and in the life. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to look at three different ways that we as people in 2019, that we may actually be dead inside or dying inside and are in need of resurrection, in need of being whole again, brought back to life. So let's kick things off by jumping into John chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 1. And John writes this. He says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. So we got Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, all siblings, right? All three of them are siblings. Verse 3. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. So he wasn't there with them. So they sent word, Jesus, Lazarus, the one you love, man, he's sick. And maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you've recently caught some bad news about someone that you love dearly, right? I think we've all experienced that moment where we're kind of cruising through life, everything seems great, seems good, and then all of a sudden, bam, the rug's pulled out from under us. We get that just terrible news, that difficult news, or maybe just something happens that totally derails your plans. I don't know if you're like me, but I'm like, very like OCD about my plans and the way I want things to go, and I have it all lined out with how it's going to be and needs to be, and when it doesn't go that way, I freak out. To be honest, that has happened to me all week. I think it's the way the enemy's been trying to attack, because I've been way distracted, way off my game, and I can't stand it because I want to control it and I can't. But maybe, like Jesus, you've got some bad news. Maybe it's that somebody that you loved has some major illness and you just found out. Or maybe it's that you found out that at work, man, they're laying people off and your job's on the chopping block. You're not too stoked about that. Or maybe for you, it's that the principal calls to talk to you about your kid. And it's, you know, it's not that good one. Like, hey, they're an all-star. It's that other conversation, right? The one my parents got far too often. But like Jesus, maybe you've recently gotten some tough news. For me, just this past Thursday night, I made the mistake of going through my emails as I was laying in bed. I try not to do that because it normally keeps me up for another hour or so. But I was going through my emails, and I got an email that a pastor friend of mine up in of Hope Church in Westerville, Ohio, that has helped me and encouraged me through some of this merge process and some other things. And I found out that he had a massive heart attack on Thursday. And at the time, the news that we had is that he was in the ambulance and he had no pulse. And he's still in super, super critical condition. But man, that just rocked me. Because I wasn't expecting that whatsoever. And sometimes we get blindsided by some tough news. And that's exactly, like, putting myself in that moment, that's exactly what Jesus felt when word came to him that the one he loved was sick. And so we find Mary and Martha, they sent word to Jesus, the one you love is sick. But check out what Jesus says. And it's pretty incredible, his response. Verse 4, it says, when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, he says, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And see, this is sometimes the things that we don't want to hear. When we're going through a tough time or when something difficult happens in our lives or to someone that we love, a lot of times it's for God's glory because he uses that later down the road to do something incredible. He's glorified through it. That thing that you wish would have never have happened, the worst case maybe even, God uses it for his glory. And it's a beautiful thing, but it's a tough thing. It's tough to stomach sometimes. But God will use it for his glory. He says it is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And we'll come back to that here in a second. But real quick, let me go ahead and summarize verses 5 through 15 because I don't think you all want to sit and hear me read through all that. But basically what happens is we see that, so they tell Jesus that the one he loves is sick. And everyone's expecting him to run to the rescue, to go in and do something about it. But surprisingly, that's not what he does. He just kind of sits tight, just chilling, just hanging out. For a couple days, he does nothing, to everyone's surprise. And then a couple days after that, he says, you know, to his disciples, he says, hey, let's go ahead and go to Judea and check it out. And his disciples are like, no, there's no way. Last time you were in Judea, man, they tried to kill you. And if you go there, they're going to kill you. And he's like, no, we need to go. Lazarus has fallen asleep. We need to go wake him up. And his disciples are like, oh, well, good. He's asleep. He'll get some rest. He'll feel better when he wakes up. Jesus is like, no, yo, like Lazarus is dead. And we need to go resurrect him. That's what he was saying. And so at this point, we're going to look at three different characters in this story. And throughout this situation, we're going to see how they responded, how they acted. And we're going to see ourselves in these three people. We're going to see how they were somewhat dying inside in different ways. And again, we see the same thing in ourselves. We're going to look at one of his disciples. We're going to look at Thomas. We're going to look at one of Lazarus' sisters, Mary, and then the other sister, Martha. Three different people, all in the same situation, experiencing different things, right? So we'll start things off by looking at my guy, Thomas. And I'm sure that many of you this morning, if you were being completely honest, you could relate to Thomas. You see, when we look at Thomas, we see that he was dead in his doubts. And maybe for you, that's kind of where you're dead inside, is that you're currently dead in your doubts. Thomas, man, he was one of Jesus' disciples. I mean, I'm sure he saw some things, experienced some things, incredible things. I'm sure he did some unbelievable things. Yet, what is he known for? Doubting. How unfortunate. Doubting Thomas. But man, I can relate. I've struggled so much throughout my life off and on with doubt. Verse 16 says, then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us go that we may die with him. Little dramatic, Thomas. Right, little dramatic, but basically he's saying when Jesus is like, hey, let's go to Judea so that we can wake Lazarus up, he's like, man, they're gonna kill you. Like he does not believe whatsoever that Jesus has this thing under control and that he knows what he's doing. He's trying to take it upon himself and he's doubting that Jesus is gonna be able to make this happen. Now, he's super loyal because he's like, hey, let's just go die with him. If they're gonna kill Jesus, let's go die with him. But it's jumping to the worst case scenario. I'm the king at that. My wife just said truth. One thing that she speaks up on, right? But that's Thomas, man. He was dead in his doubts. Experienced life with Jesus, ministry with Jesus right alongside him, but really didn't believe that Jesus had it under control, that he knew what he was doing. I'm curious, how many of you all would be honest and say that at some point in time in your life, whether you're a Christ follower or not, whether you're just here, but you've just checking things out or because someone asked you to come, that you've ever doubted something spiritual or your faith or if this God thing even existed, right? Most people. Some of you just didn't raise your hand because, you know, you didn't want to raise your hand. I'm cool with that. But the reality of the situation is that everyone doubts. Don't for one second think that you're the only person that's ever had a doubt. One of his disciples doubted. He was known as the doubter. We all struggle from time to time with our doubts. Maybe for you, you prayed and you asked God to do something. You believed that he was going to do it. And he didn't. Doubt started creeping in, started taking over. Or maybe you kind of had this very simple surface level faith growing up. You just believed, kept it moving. Then you went to college. Then you had a professor say, hey, all that God stuff, throw it out the window. It's not true, didn't happen. And if you mention it in here, you're getting an F. That was my psychology class my freshman year. Rocked me to my core. Because then you begin to doubt. Is this my faith? Do I even really believe this? Or do I believe this just because it's what my family told me that I was supposed to believe? Because my parents believed it, because my grandparents believed it. Doubt starts creeping in. Or maybe for you, it's that something really bad happened. And you're like, God, if you're good, why would you let this happen? If you really care, why am I experiencing this? And doubt can creep in like that. And maybe that's where you're at this morning. Maybe you're struggling internally because you're dead in your doubts. Or maybe for you, it's not that. Maybe you're more like Mary. And we see that Mary, she was dead in her discouragement. Maybe that's where you're at. You're dead in your discouragement. You're just discouraged. Never feel like you can ever catch a break. Nothing good ever happens for you. Always down, always out, always miserable. You just can't catch a break. You're just discouraged. Well, in verse 20, we kind of get the feeling that Mary was a little bit discouraged, right? Her brother had just passed, and we read this. It says, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But what did Mary do? It says, but Mary stayed at home. She's like, what's the point? It's too late. Who cares if Jesus is here now? Lazarus is already dead. She was just discouraged. She's ready to throw in the towel. She's done. She's over it. And again, maybe that's you this morning. You're discouraged. You're just ready to quit. Whatever situation you're facing, you're just done. You're over it. Feeling like, man, I'm always going to be alone. It's never going to change. Doesn't matter what I do. Nothing's going to change. I'm stuck in this dead-end job. My marriage is always going to suck. It's just pointless. You're discouraged. And sure, it's Easter. You're probably not going to show it. You know, because if there's one thing we're good at in the church is throwing on a mask. Fake it, right? We know all the good things to say. You walked in and someone's like, hey, how are you doing? You're like, great. Praise the Lord. He's risen. He's risen indeed. I'm blessed. But the truth is, on the inside, you're dying. You're discouraged. You're frustrated. Have no peace, no joy, no happiness. You're a wreck. You're dead in your discouragement. Some of you, you're dead in your doubts. Some, you're dead in your discouragement. But lastly, maybe you're like Martha. You see, in Martha, she was dead in the delay. Essentially, she was like, God, you just took too long. You took too long. It's too late. Lazarus is dead. But when we first sent word, if you would have just got here as quick as you could, he would still be alive. It's your fault. Just pointing the finger at Jesus. Bold mood, Martha. Pointed the finger right at Jesus. She was dead in the delay. Verse 17, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been dead or been in the tomb for 4 days. And this is significant because during this time period, whenever someone passed away, they believed that the spirit kind of lingered. It kind of hung around like outside the body for like 3 days. It was just there just in case, you know, there was a resurrection or they were coming back to life, the spirit could jump right back in. That's not biblical. It's just their belief. It was just something that was a custom of that time. But at day four, the spirit had gone. No hope. He was like all the way dead at that point. Not just partially, like all the way. And so it says that when Jesus arrived, he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Then verse 21, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Again, pointing the finger. It's your fault. You delayed. You took too long. Now I'm in this mess. Now I'm broken. Now I'm hurt. Because you took too long. And again, maybe you can relate with Martha. You're somewhat dead in the delay. I mean, you've been praying for something specific. God still hasn't answered. You're frustrated. Or you're waiting for God to clearly lay out those next steps in your career path. You're asking him, show me which way to go. Show me which direction to take. And nothing. You have no peace. You don't get that answer. Maybe for you, you're seeking God to help you out with whatever addiction you're facing. You're facing some addiction that you want to get rid of, but it just is lingering, and you're trying. You're tired of the delay. Maybe it's someone's physical healing that you're praying for and nothing. Maybe you're praying for God to send you Mr. or Miss Wright, and you're still riding solo. He seems delayed. And it's tearing you up inside. You want him to respond. You want him to answer, but he's not. You've been faithful, right? You've been seeking him. You've been praying. You've been studying scripture. You've been going to church, or you've been doing whatever, and you're being faithful and you're serving, but he's still silent. He's not here. You sent word, but no Jesus. You're dead in the delay. And if that's you this morning, I want to share with you something that I heard a pastor say several years ago that really helped me out with this discouragement of the delay. He said that God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. I think we need to hear that. When God seems delayed, he's not necessarily denying what it is that you're seeking. It just may not be the right time. It may not be what really needs to happen, and you can't see that yet. And you'll see that 6 months, a year down the road, that, man, I'm glad that didn't happen. I'm glad he delayed. I know I've had those experiences plenty. See, we get set in our own time frame of when we think God should do things. He's like, no, you got to hold up. I got this. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to bring glory through it. But we get stuck in that delay because it's not easy. It's not fun. But what we also see, like I said, is that he's going to be glorified through that in the future. And that's exactly what we see happen in this passage of scripture in John 11. It's exactly what we see. I want you to notice that everything in the first 21 verses is the rough stuff. Everything that's bad that happens is in that first 21 verses. The first 21 verses, we see that Lazarus is sick. We see them send word to Jesus and he doesn't do anything. We see Thomas is doubting. He's all freaked out, right? Mary, she's just chilling at home. She's throwing in the towel. She's giving up. She's like, whatever. I'm over it. Martha's frustrated and pointing the finger at Jesus. All seems lost. Seems like a mess. But then verse 22 comes. One verse, everything shifts. One verse, everything changes. The tone begins to shift when Martha looks at Jesus and she says this in verse 22. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. She's dead in the delay. Man, she's frustrated. There's doubt. There's discouragement. And then she stops and pauses and says, but even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. While I'm dead in my discouragement, the delay, and I'm doubting like crazy, I know that even now you can move. And man, some of us need to have that even now moment. We need to get out of the vicious cycle and the mess of the first 21 verses and jump over to 22 and say, God, even now, in the midst of my mess, in the midst of all this chaos, in the midst of everything that I'm feeling emotionally, God, I know that even now you can move. That you can do all things. God, I know this. That even now, while I'm discouraged, your presence, I know God can build my faith. That even now, while I feel alone, you can give me peace and just being with you. God, even now that I know that you can reach into my jacked up family and bring healing and restoration, that he can do that for sure. Even now, when my heart is cold and callous towards the things of God, God, I know that you can reach in and soften it. You can move me. You can draw me into your presence. God, even now, when I'm dead inside, you can bring new life. You can restore me. And again, that's what Jesus did. Verse 23, Jesus says to her, to Martha, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know. He will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. See, she's still not even thinking in the here and now. She still thinks it's done. It's over with. Remember, 4 days, he's dead. He's gone. Then verse 25 is when Jesus says, I am the resurrection. The life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And then he says, do you believe this? See, I think right there in that one question, I think he knows she believes that, but he's given her the chance to vocalize it. He's given her a chance to restore that frustration, that pointing the finger. He didn't judge her. He gave her an opportunity to bounce back from it. Do you believe this? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. See, the resurrection is not just what he does. The resurrection is who he is. And I want you to understand that. The resurrection is not an event. It's a person. The resurrection is not just an event, it's Jesus. He restores all things. He breathes life into dead things. That's what he does. He's a pro at it. It's his jam. He takes dead things and he brings life. Understand the dead things don't stay dead. When the resurrection walks in the room. I heard somebody say that once, and that has just stuck with me. I think it's incredible. Dead things don't stay dead when the resurrection walks into the room. And even now, some of you, you're dead inside. But when Jesus comes onto the scene, he can breathe life back into you. He restores all things. Verse 39, Jesus looks at the tomb where Lazarus was laid to rest, and he tells his disciples to roll away the stone. And then in verse 41, it tells us this. It says, so they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. Like Walking Dead style, right? The dead man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen, a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave cloths and let him go. He said, come out. Then he said, take off all that mess, all the grave cloths, all the mask off his face, all those things, and let him go. And some of you are dead inside. You've lost faith. You've lost all hope. You've thrown in the towel. You're discouraged. You got doubts. Man, you feel trapped in a tomb. You're bound by the grave cloths, suffocating from the cloth over your face. Jesus says, roll the stone away. Remove all that mess. Come out. Come back to life. Because he gives it. He is the resurrection. But see, we feel trapped. Like we can't do this. And guess what? You can't. Super encouraging, right? You're welcome. But you can't. But Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Again, not by anything that you do, but because he is the resurrection and the life. And man, this is so important. Because again, today is the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And that changed everything. Not only did he say, I'm the resurrection and the life, he proved it. You see, he did what we were completely incapable of doing on our own. We could not make ourselves right before God. But he made a way. He became flesh. Right, came down to earth to live as a man, right? Sinless, perfect, born of a virgin, no sin in him at all. Therefore, he was the perfect sacrifice. And he gave his life for you, for me, so that we could be made whole again. He was beaten. Brutally beaten, nailed to a cross, and hung up there for all to see. And it was at that point that he said, man, it's finished. God, I did what you sent me here to do. He says, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he died. And you see, at that point, those people that thought that just maybe he was who he said he was, that maybe he was the Messiah, at that moment, they lost hope. He was gone. But see, what they didn't know was that Sunday was coming. They didn't know that all this mess was happening in the first 21 verses, right? But verse 22 was coming. That there was hope. That he is the resurrection and that he is the life. And some of you are stuck in that first 21. Break free. Break free. Your sins can be forgiven. Your life can be radically changed. You can connect with the Father. What was once dead within you can then be set alive. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. We need to receive that this morning. I don't know exactly what it is that you're going through, what you're experiencing. Those are just a few examples of doubt and discouragement, delay. Man, it could be so many different things that is wrecking us on the inside. But remember that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And more than anything, he wants you to come into relationship with him so that he can restore you, so that he can take something that's dead and down and out and breathe life into it, so that he could say, man, take off those grave cloths, man. Be free. And you can experience that today. Not because of anything that you can do or have ever done, but it has everything to do with he did in giving his life and the fact that the tomb is empty and he's risen. And that fact changes everything. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in him will never die. And remember, dead things don't stay dead when Jesus comes onto the scene. When the resurrection walks into the room, dead things will not stay dead. He is the resurrection and the life. Let's pray. God, we are so, so thankful for your son, Jesus. God, we thank you that you made a way for us to be made right before you. That in our mess, that in our doubts, our discouragement, our frustration, our anger even, our straight up disbelief, that you still love us and that you want to make us whole. And God, we thank you for that. And God, we thank you that the tomb is empty. God, we thank you that your son, when he came and died, that wasn't the end of the story, but that he rose victoriously, defeating death, hell, and the grave for us. And Lord, may we not just celebrate that one day a year, but may we live every second of our lives, every second of every day from that truth. And may we truly live lives that reflect you. As we continue in a spirit of prayer, maybe you're here this morning. I mean, you've never come into a relationship with God. You're hurting. You're broken. You've pushed God away. Maybe it's because of stupid things that quote-unquote Christians say and do. Trust me, I get it. They frustrate me too. But maybe you're here this morning and it's your time. It's time that you stop running, stop pushing God away, and you allow Jesus to come in and breathe life into you, speak truth over you, to bring a resurrection into your soul, into your being. And God loves you so much. He does, man. He loves you. Even though things may not always go the way you think they should, and he doesn't operate the way you think he should, man, he loves you. And he wants nothing more than to be in a relationship with you. He loves you so much that he gave his son for you. That's why we're here, right? It's the Easter message. It's the gospel. He died and rose again for you. And scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you'll be saved. It's not a magical prayer. It's not something you check off your list. It's not coming in and doing all these different things. It's an intimate decision, a connection between you and God. It's confessing and believing. Confessing that you have flaws, confessing that you're not perfect, and confessing that you're in need of a Savior and believing that Jesus is the one and only way. And if that's you this morning and you're ready to step over that line of faith and just call out to God however he leads you. Again, it's not about me telling you what to say. It's about you connecting with God. And you could do that right there, right from your seat. Or you can come talk to me here in a minute or after the service or one of our other staff or somebody else. It's fine. Whatever you're comfortable with, man, I'm down with it. But if you're ready to step over that line of faith, Just do business with God. And he's good. He loves you. He wants to bring life. He wants to call you out of the grave into life. But maybe you're here this morning and you are a Christ follower. But man, you're struggling. Struggling with some doubt. Struggling with some discouragement because God didn't do what you thought he should do. Or he let something happen that you wish he wouldn't. Remember, it's for his glory. He'll be glorified through it. Maybe it's his delay. His timing seems way off. I get it. I've been there. But if that's you, man, you just do business with God. Reclaim that resurrection, that new life. Because he offers it. He gives it. He says, even now, in the midst of all this mess, he can do all things and will do all things and will bring life into whatever's jacked up in your life right now. Like true life. Peace, joy. It doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect. Doesn't mean that at the snap of a finger that everything's going to be peachy and you're going to get the big raise and, you know, and your depression's going to fly out the window and everything's perfect. That's not necessarily the case, but you'll have Jesus living with you, walking every step with you, and then slowly he begins to transform you from the inside out. It's a beautiful thing. So whatever it is that he's leading you to this morning, you just do business with him.